From the Windows, Doors, and More Studios, your one-stop shop for all your kitchen and bath needs. The Pat Miller Program. WoWo, 92.3 FM and 1190 AM. Depend on it.
And good afternoon, everybody. Welcome here at noon to the Pat Miller Program on this Saturday. Always with you every Saturday from noon to 3. And very glad that you're with us today. A lot of big things to cover today. Caleb Blakeslee will be with us, the Attorney General of the State of Indiana. Todd Rokita will be with us in the program today. We're going to be talking to our good friend Adam Brower from Honor Flight, because the next Honor Flight, the first one for this year, comes up this week, this Wednesday, so we want to be ready for that. And since I'm not on every day anymore, I need to tell you now and let you know, be ready to join us at the airport Wednesday night at around 8:15 so that we can welcome another whole plane of Honor Flight aware people, the veterans of great wars and greatest wars and all of them. We will have, I think, still a couple of World War II veterans, but obviously those from Korea, the Cold Wars, Vietnam are all in there. And we'll talk to Adam exactly who's on this flight and how is it going to go, and how can we be out there to make sure that we can greet them. Well, let's get into a little bit of some news things that we have here. This is from your president, Joe Biden. Follow this. I hope the legacy is that I kept my word, that I said the reason I was running was to reduce the prospect of war because of Vietnam. The president sometimes talks as if he lives in a time warp. He's in some kind of loop where he just can't get himself together. Now, speaking of conflicts, we've got the incredible conflict going on between Israel and Hamas. Again, the president seems to have some difficulty. He can't seem to bring himself to the idea to realize that Hamas is the one that instigated this whole war. They attacked Israel. They went in and killed Israelis. They still hold Israelis hostage. And here's the president's take. I think what Benjamin Netanyahu is doing is a mistake, and I don't agree with his approach. Just call for a ceasefire. Allow for the next 6-8 weeks total access to all food and medicine going into the country. Mr. President, we've had that in place. We've absolutely had that in place. We have taken and tried to get drugs in, tried to get food in. We wanted to airdrop some food in, and who wouldn't allow it? Was that Israel? No, sir. That was Hamas that would not allow it in. They are allowing people to get hurt, and they are allowing people to die. They look, obviously, America, we need to be careful because we ought not to involve ourselves in foreign conflicts in which we are unwilling to stay the course. American interests dictate pragmatism. We went in, the president went in through his bully pulpit and said, this is awful what's happened, and we want to let our friends in Israel know we stand with them. We call on Hamas to pull out. And that's all changed. We've gone far beyond that. Now we're telling our allies, we're telling them they can't win victories in conflicts in which they are willing to stay the course and in which they can win. We're telling Israel, call a ceasefire. Stop. Pull all your people back. Stop firing your missiles. Stop shooting your guns. Stop trying to get Hamas to pull out. Just pull back and do a ceasefire. Based on what, Mr. President? Based on what? What would we have said about people if they were telling us right after 9/11, well, you know, it's been 3 months, it's been 4 months. Why don't you stop pursuing the people that did that to your country? Why aren't you big enough that you realize that maybe it's over? We would have just been up in arms with those people. We would have had a coronary with them. Israel is obviously very willing to stay the course, and they can win. And we're going to actively step in and prevent victory. So the enemies of Israel, and quite honestly, the enemies of us, they do nothing but grow stronger. It turns out that the alternative to an America confident in its own moral role and an America willing to stand with its allies is a world of chaos. Let's talk about some economic chaos. I'm going to do that in the next segment. That comes up straight ahead. So very glad that you're with us. Remember, you can text us at 46862. That's 46862. Text the word WOWO first, and then your question or comment, and it comes right here. You can email me even after I'm gone, Pat Miller, all one word, no dots or dashes, patmiller@wowo.com, and I very much look forward to hearing from you. More coming up straight ahead right here on this Saturday edition of the Pat Miller Program on WOWO 92.3 FM, 1190 AM.
This is the Pat Miller Program on WOWO 92.3 FM and 1190 AM and on the WOWO app.
Hey, welcome back on the Pat Miller Program. Very glad that you're with us. And I want to move on a little bit. We were talking about the president and some of his friends and some of his claims of what it is that needs to happen in the conflict in Israel. I think it's a little pompous and a little over the top that we're now ready to tell Israel, who is our greatest ally in the Middle East, how it is they're going to conduct their war against the people that attack them. Let me say one thing real quick. I meant to move on from this, but I just can't. Israel has historically been our greatest ally in that region, bar none. They proved it during our conflict there in the desert, which went over about 10 years against Iraq and Iran. But now we're telling them, hey, you need to back off. You need to stop defending yourself. You need to forget all this nonsense. I don't know that we're ready to do that. I don't think most Americans realize what it is that we're telling Israel to do. But I will tell you one thing, and I think this sounds simple to say, but I view it as the crux of the problem. To our president, to his staff, to the people that are operating the military in his name, they don't recognize Israel as not only our greatest ally, I don't think that they're recognizing Israel as an ally at all. When you could pick up the phone and you call Benjamin Netanyahu, and you can say, you guys need to back out. You need to give it 6 weeks, 8 weeks, so that all the medicine and all the food can go in. Can I just say this? We've been begging to let the food in, to let the medicine in. Israel tried to take it in. They wouldn't let them. And if it does get in, Hamas makes sure that the people of Gaza do not get it. They don't get the food. They make sure that it goes to them because they want their soldiers to be well fed. They don't want that to be a problem for them. And so that's what it is that they're trying to do. I don't know that we're viewing Israel with even as much love as we're currently viewing Hamas. We actually seem to have more compassion for Hamas. Do you realize that some of their kids might be dying there? Do you realize some innocent people might be dying? That didn't seem to bother you when Hamas was going through the fence and pouring into Israel and killing their young and raping their women. That didn't seem to be a big issue for you. But now that the shoe is turned, when will you stop listening to the squad, Mr. President? When will they stop dictating what it is that you think and what you feel and what you're going to do? I've got to think that the squad are jumping up and down and kicking their heels, and they are thrilled that the United States is now almost accepting a position that in this war between the attackers and those that were attacked, that between those two, we are now ready to say, you know what, we think maybe Israel is in the wrong, not the other way around. Israel might be the one in the wrong. I think we're in very dangerous territory here, folks. I genuinely do. And I'm really concerned for where it is that we find ourselves. Well, let's talk about the same president, but let's talk about another problem. Let's talk about the economy. Joe Biden said, we have dramatically reduced inflation from 9% down to close to 3%. Well, Joe Biden was the one who caused inflation to spike to 9% in the first place. And by the way, it's behind its recent rise back to 3.5%. So when he came out and bragged that we're down to 3, no, you're at 3.5. And you had to come down to 3 because you blew it up to 9%. That's the big problem here. I don't think our president understands. Well, I know our president doesn't understand. Tammy Duckworth, Democrat Senator, Illinois, had to put her big foot in it. She said Trump was terrible for the economy. Thank goodness Joe Biden got into office because Joe Biden pulled us out of a potential recession. Really? That's how you're viewing this? Do some of these people listen to themselves? Do they hear themselves? Are they all just trying to interview for The View? They want to get on and have their few moments of fame? Don't know. Joe Biden said, I used to teach the Second Amendment in law school. From the very beginning, there were limitations. You couldn't own a cannon. I don't remember anybody trying to buy a cannon to defend their home. I can't carry a cannon, but I can bear arms. I've got two handguns. I can bear them. There are some weapons slightly larger than those. I can bear that. Can't carry a cannon. I don't think I can carry a bazooka real well. Press Secretary Corinne Jean-Pierre said, when it comes to guns, it's the number one killer of our children. And she's correct. It is, this last year, the number one killer of our children. But why? Because of amendment-loving, gun-loving people that have guns to protect their families? Or is it because of thugs on the street in some places like Philadelphia or Chicago or Miami or San Francisco or Los Angeles, places where they already say you can't have guns here? And so it's becoming more and more difficult for the lawful among us, those that recognize the Second Amendment, those that want to do things the right way for right reasons. It's becoming more and more obvious we can't buy guns the way they do, can't here in Indiana, but in other places you can't. And that's where the number one killer of children is guns. Kamala Harris, brilliant. Can you believe that laws are being passed that make it literally illegal to give voters food and water while they're standing in line? What are you talking about? And where are you? Where do you live, Ms. Harris? Are you going without food and water or limousine service or police protection? Are you going without any of that? Jasmine Crockett, Democrat, Texas, she goes, just this past week, I don't remember which celebrity, but it was actually a celebrity. And I was like, I don't know that that's not necessarily a bad idea. What was the idea? Make the proposal that, to quote her, that black folk not have to pay taxes for a certain amount of time. What will that fix? What will that fix? Look, I expect the federal government to be there for me and to be things to me and to my family when I need it. That's why I pay my taxes, so I can count on a government that I support to be there. What is the push? That the only way that we can make blacks more common in their love for America and that we can make blacks more comfortable in their citizenship in America is to make citizenship for them easier than for anybody else. What are you going to do, Ms. Crockett, if you're talking about somebody who's half black? So would they not have to pay taxes for half the time as somebody who is fully black? I know I'm sounding stupid now, but I'm just taking their stupid premise and I'm trying to make it work. We're going to do an article here a little bit later in the program about men punching random women in New York City. And the Salon headline says, men punching random women in New York City, a desperate last gasp of the male rage fueling MAGA. So some guys go totally stupid, absolutely totally stupid, out of control, and they're starting to punch women on the streets of New York City, and it's Donald Trump's fault? Anytime they yank MAGA out and that becomes their thing, they just totally lose me. Whoopi Goldberg, the brilliant host of The View, said, Republicans want to bring back slavery. They're okay with it. Where? Where do you see that? I guarantee you, Whoopi, that if you look at Michael Jordan, I bet he has more white people serving him in his offices and in his mansions than I have a black person serving me. It's not about race, Whoopi. Slavery is not slavery if they're being paid to do something. when you see somebody and you're saying, well, that guy out there is digging a ditch. That's slave labor. No, it's not. Not if he's getting paid to do it. Look, you want ditches dug, Whoopi. You don't want water flooding into your hotel condominium. So ditches had to be dug. Pipes have to be laid. People have to do that. Sometimes they're black. Sometimes they're white. Sometimes they're Hispanic. Sometimes they're Puerto Rican. Sometimes they're South American. But they have to be done. And they're being paid for doing it. Talk about being paid later on in the program. We're going to get into the whole idea of this raised minimum wage. And I'm going to say it now. I told you so. I told you so. They're raising minimum wages, some of them to $20 an hour. And what has that done? And it's doing exactly what we said it would do. So, that's where it's at. You can't sit there and wad up, race in a ball, and throw it at everything. That's not how this works. That's not how this works. So you got to be able to get there and to look at things and look at situations as they really are. We're not trying to bring back slavery. Republicans want to bring back slavery. Does that include black Republicans, Whoopi? What about them? Does that include them? Whoopi also went on because she doesn't know when to shut up. Abortion is not mentioned in the Big Ten, and she's talking about the commandments. I think thou shalt not kill cannot be used as a block because we allow wars all the time. Let me get into a little bit of a biblical dissertation with Whoopi. Thou shalt not kill. There is a difference between killing in war and defending of your home and defending of your family and murder. O.J. Simpson, who died this week, was a murderer. He was a murderer. He killed two people. He wasn't defending. What's the difference? It is murder when you go after somebody and you deliberately kill somebody who is indefensible, nor did they give you the cause to kill them. You just murdered them. Abortion comes to mind. These people who sit there and scream and holler and rant and rave that Republicans want death, we want to murder people. Hillary started this conversation back when her, it takes a village. She pushed this so much. We've got to stop all the killing, all of it. Well, then stop having people with guns around you for protection, because if somebody comes at you, Hillary, they're pulling a gun, right? And by the way, Whoopi wouldn't say a word. But to say, we have wars, so let's stop this nonsense of thou shalt not kill. It's thou shalt not murder. If you go back to the original language and you go back and you read the Hebrew, it's thou shalt not murder. Between murder and kill, there is a great gulf fixed. And we need to recognize that gulf. And we need to realize that some people are living beyond that. Coming up right after the bottom of the hour, when we get done with this next break, from Fort Wayne's Morning News, heard every day from 5 to 9, almost said 9 to noon, from 5 to 9. They do such a tremendous job. I wake up every morning and listen to Fort Wayne's Morning News. Kayla does a fantastic job, excellent interviewer. She does everything that she can to keep us informed with everything going on. Well, we're going to talk to her right after the break coming up at the bottom of the hour. And then I'll be back with you, and I want to talk to you about a congresswoman who has proven one more time she knows nothing about space, she knows nothing about NASA, she almost knows nothing about nothing, but that's never stopped her yet. That all comes up. Yeah, you could probably guess who it is. She's from Texas. And we will talk about Sheila Jackson Lee coming up straight ahead. Then we talk to Kayla, then I want to talk to you about somebody who was mentioned in death and then somebody who was mentioned in being released from prison, and both of them were mistakes. And we'll talk about that. All this comes up straight ahead. Thanks for being with us today as we're with you right here on Pat Miller Program, heard every Saturday from noon to 3 on WoWo 92.3 FM. And welcome back. We have as our guest here, because I always try to have her every week, during the noon hour at the 12:30 portion of the program. It's the beautiful, the lovely, the talented, the inimitable Kayla Blakeslee. Kayla, here you are. You've made yourself available for us again on a Saturday. How you doing?
As always, it's good to be here, Pat.
Yep. Nice to have, after the rain we've had this week, nice to have a Saturday.
Finally.
Pretty nice.
Finally. Good golfing weather, although we've been watching the Masters.
We're not actually out golfing.
Yep. We're watching golf.
Yep. Same here. And everything got so goofed up, not being able to do everybody on Thursday and having to spill over to Friday and all that. That's okay. For the money they're making, they'll make it work.
Yeah, right. So I think so.
Let's talk here about what's going on in your world. What is it you're all wrangled up about today?
I want to talk about fundraising thresholds. Can we do that?
Fundraising thresholds.
That's why I'm so glad actually to be here today. For folks who maybe don't know it, I have been asked to participate in the upcoming 3rd District debate for Congress.
Okay, 3rd District Congress.
Yep, we have 8 candidates running to be our next sitting congressperson. And this, by the way, is the seat that Congressman Banks holds, but is now making a U.S. Senate run.
Correct.
I was asked to be a part of the moderating the debate. I was asked along with Dirk Rally from Wayne TV. He's their evening anchor. You've probably seen him if you watch Wayne.
Great guy.
And then alongside a gentleman from the Journal Gazette. He's actually the editorial page editor of the Journal Gazette. So I thought it was actually really cool when we were approached about doing this. You know, 3 local mediums, all different, coming together to moderate this debate. And the Mike Downs Center for Indiana Politics is facilitating it. Although I want to make this really clear because there's so much information out there right now about this debate. The Mike Downs Center has allowed us 3 moderators to make all of the decisions, okay, in terms of time, being open to the public, location, when and how it will be dispersed amongst residents, and that takes me to fundraising thresholds. We had a conversation in terms of who's going to qualify for this debate, and initially, you know, it was kind of thrown out there that we'll take, you know, the top 4 polling candidates. Then it turned into more, we turned it into the monies, if you will, because I think that's really important, and we'll talk about that. So it turned more into some finance criteria that we came up with. We created a fundraising threshold, and before even knowing who the candidates would be, we just agreed that we were going to take the top 4.
So the top half.
The top half, because like I said, there are 8 candidates running in this race. And unfortunately, when you have a crowded field like that, I know you know this, Pat, and there have been some forums already. When you have that many cooks in the kitchen, it can get a little messy.
Well, I was at the forum that was held Wednesday night up on Hillegas Road at the Classic Cafe, and all 8 were there. And they're all fine, but each person was given 15 minutes. Okay. It kind of drags on.
It does drag on. I feel like there's at least some other forums that have occurred. There's a lot of back and forth. There's not a following of time constraints. It gets a little out of hand. And so that was one of the things that we had talked about, is narrowing down that field. And when you include a fundraising threshold, some financial criteria, that does help you narrow that field a little bit.
You think that's fair?
I think there's an argument to be made pro and anti fundraising thresholds, to be honest. From my point of view, as a member of the media, I do think it's fair for a couple of different reasons. For starters, again, just sheer time and resources. Not every facility or organization has the ability to house 8 candidates, to put forward 8 candidates, to interview 8 candidates and have an audience for 8 candidates, right? So resources is real. And you just said it. I mean, time is the other one. You know, we're mapping out the timeline right now for this upcoming debate on Wednesday, and with 4 candidates, intros, outros, why you should be, you know, our next sitting Congress member. Right now, it's only if the candidates behave, you know, and follow time constraints. 10 questions. That's it. That's all we can ask. Yeah. So can you imagine if we had all 8 candidates, that would have been 5 questions asked. So you see what I'm saying about time.
Yep.
My final argument that I'd make of why a fundraising threshold is important, and I hate that American politics are about money, but welcome to the show, I guess, if you are a politician or you want to be one, is the fact that to me, it informs me who is actually a viable contender, right? Who is going to be transparent? Because I love to see where candidates actually get their money, who they're taking it from.
Right.
And furthermore, when it comes to fundraising thresholds, it tells me, and this is just me speaking, okay? This isn't this isn't you. I can't tell you if you think this way or not. I actually have no idea, Pat, how you think about these fundraising thresholds. But to me, I'm like, if you can't influence people to give you their money, right?
Yep.
How are you going to influence policy change? If you can't get people to give you their money, their cold, hard cash, which we know, I think most people care about their money most, aside from their family and their health. Some might put money even higher on the list. If you can't do that, how are you going to get people to give you your votes?
Yeah.
So that's why I think, I mean, that's probably my number one reason why I am a supporter of fundraising thresholds. I mean, we've seen them played out in the presidential primary already. We've seen them played out in our gubernatorial race here in our state. And yes, we implemented one here for this third district debate. And let me tell you, Pat, some of the candidates not too happy about it.
Well, and I understand that. And the candidates that aren't too happy about it, I'd be interested to ask them, how is it that you've tried to make yourself known to the populace?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, look, most of these people that are running, they didn't decide 5 weeks ago.
Right.
All the way back when we had the spring banquet for the Republicans last year, I interviewed all of those people on my program from the back of the room. So they've known for a year plus they're running for office. Okay, so are you not in a position where you're out there asking for the money? Are you not trying to sit down with some people of means and say, hey, I'm running. This is why I would really like your support. Because if you don't ask for your support, look, if I have the money, and I don't, but if I had the money to throw 20 grand at every candidate, can't do it, won't do it.
Right.
Okay. Some people say, Marlon's already run before, so he's known. Fine. Some people would say, with the different people that are involved, you know, with Tim is putting a lot of his own money in there. Fine.
Right.
Wendy is well known, but that's just because she was a judge. Fine. But somebody has said, this is a candidate worth putting money to them because we think they can make a difference. And I think taking those top four makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, you really do.
It does for me in terms of all the reasons why I just listed: time, resources, transparency, and viability. Are they viable to actually get votes? You know, I had on, so you mentioned, you know, being able to talk to some of these candidates. I've been called out, Wobo has been, pretty aggressively by one of the candidates on social media. And I actually had my producer reach out to this person to say, hey, you want to air it out on social media? Let's air it out on the air. Of course, we didn't hear anything back. They have no problem airing it out on social media.
Right.
But not coming to the air. However, Grant Booker, one of the candidates running for the third, he was willing to come on. He came on my show last Friday to talk about this.
Yeah.
And his point was this, and he wasn't anti-fundraising thresholds. He's very much amicable about it and very understanding about them. But his point was he made an analogy about In-N-Out Burger and how when he first went, he just ordered the main kind of menu item that everybody orders.
Right.
Until he kind of got on the inside and learned there's this burger with some secret sauce kind of thing. So he went back, ordered that, and it was the best burger he ever had, right?
Okay.
So and I get what he's saying. You can't ever know about the best burger with the secret sauce ever if there's no...
You don't know till you jump
in. Right.
You just don't know till you jump in. And let me just say this. Booker is a great guy.
I think he's an astonishing gentleman.
I now have met him 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
The cutest 2 sons in the world. His son comes up to me at the forum on Wednesday night and tugs my leg. And I said, hi, how are you? And he tells me who he is. And Grant says, do you want to tell him what happened with you last week? And he had just received Christ as Savior.
Oh, my gosh.
And the kid was just so bright-eyed, you know, and all that. And Dad was so proud of him. But Booker just strikes me as an incredibly genuine guy.
Yeah.
And if nothing else, depending upon what happens here, this campaign might open the door for him somewhere down the road for this office again in a few years or for something else.
Yeah, I really think that it will. And I understood the point he was trying to make this morning, but at the same time, this is American politics. And if no one knows about your secret sauce burger because you don't have the funds to share about it and only the insiders know, which that's kind of a whole different layer of conversation, don't hate the player, hate the game. Like, I'm sorry, but fundraising is wildly important. And that's why, you know, when meeting with the other moderators, also participating in this debate, that's why I advocated for this fundraising threshold. So the Mike Down Center for Indiana Politics taking a lot of heat for this, Wayne TV taking a lot of heat for this. And I just want to be really clear and transparent. I am one of the ones who greatly advocated for this threshold.
Yeah. Well, and let me just say this, because I was at this forum the other night. All 8 were there. Each had 15 minutes. It became a very long evening.
I think back 4 years ago to the debates that WoWo hosted, that you were the host and I was the moderator, and we had three candidates. We had a Republican, we had a Democrat, we had an Independent. That was hard enough.
That was hard enough.
To make sure that that question was answered accurately to everybody. If somebody tried to avoid it, I didn't let them, you know, and you go back and you'd punch it again and all that. To fill that hour was tough. With three.
It's going to already be really challenging with four, to be honest.
Are you looking for an hour?
We're looking for about an hour. The thing is with this debate, and this is also something we're getting a lot of flack for, and I don't care. It is not open to the public, and it is not live. We are recording it at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Wednesday. Again, we're being really transparent about this. We're not hiding anything. I also advocated it for it not being open to the public because I don't want any hooping and hollering. I don't want clapping. I don't want to waste time
And that's just how we did ours.
That's exactly how we did ours. It was not open to the public. Ours was live that we did, but in this case, it is not live. But here's what I can guarantee. I am a woman of my word. My whole team, I'm bringing out my whole engineering crew with me this Wednesday for this. We are going to run the feed raw. And in fact, you'll be able to hear the, hey, are you ready to go? Do we have everything set up? I'm not going to touch it. We will not edit it.
Okay.
Nothing. All right. We are taking our own feed out there. We will start rolling. We're going to start recording around 2 o'clock. So if we go an hour, hour and 10 minutes, we do have a little flexibility. That's the other thing I loved about us not doing this live.
Yeah.
So we can ensure we at least get 10 questions into these candidates.
Sure.
Yes, it probably will take us a little bit longer than an hour.
If it takes you an hour and a half, it takes you an hour and a half.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, that's it. And if people say, well, it wasn't live and you wouldn't let us in, guess what? We've got it on our website. You can pull it up and listen to it anytime you want.
We will be airing it live during the Burning Truth with Casey. No, I shouldn't say airing it live. We will be airing it back that day on Wednesday with Casey Hendrickson and the Burning Truth. I will play clips of it during my program on Fort Wayne's Morning News. I'm sure you'll do the same thing on your program, Pat.
Well,
we'll have a podcast.
I fill in for Casey this Thursday, Friday.
So perfect.
And I'm having each one of the candidates on that program, and then I'm going to have an individual interview with each of them, not a debate between, but an individual interview. And then on my program a week from today, I'm going to replay those segments. So everybody's going to have plenty of time.
Everyone's got plenty of time to chit-chat. And like I said, we will also podcast the whole debate in its entirety from start to finish. Like I said, you'll be able to hear all of the action behind the scenes as well, because I will not touch it.
Yeah.
It will not be edited. So yes, you will still be able to consume the debate in the same way that I am as a moderator.
If you want to find the information, you can find the information.
WoWo.com.
And in reality, does it matter if you're hearing it live or on a recording? It doesn't matter.
I mean, I don't think so. I just love the flexibility that it gives us. It feels a little less pressured to have to be to the second, which when we do ours live, I mean, you have to be. And if you're hitting that hour mark in the candidate's mid-sentence, tough cookies. We got to get out for that break.
So now you record them what day? Wednesday?
This Wednesday.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then I have each one of the candidates on Thursday and Friday.
Perfect.
Then we're going to replay those on my program next Saturday. So you're going to get all the third district you could possibly want between the two of us.
Yeah, and I think that it'll be really telling what we do hear from these four candidates during the debate and how the other candidates who didn't qualify respond to some of those comments.
Yeah.
Like, I'm very much looking forward to that kind of juxtaposition of the candidates in the debate, the candidates not in the debate.
Yeah, there she threw out one of those five-syllable words again. Last question for you, and this is the very big debatable question. I'm filling in for Casey, and the name of his program is?
The Burning Truth with Casey Hendrickson.
But when I do it, is it more like the simmering embers? Like,
I was waiting for something.
Flame out. So there you go. All right. Cato, thanks. Back with more coming up straight ahead. In fact, in the next hour, Adam Brower from Honor Flight Northeast Indiana, they're ready to fly again. And then in the final hour of the program today at 2 o'clock, 3rd District Congressman Jim Banks. All this straight ahead on WoWo 92.3 FM, 1190 AM.
This is the Pat Miller Program on WoWo 92.3 FM and 1190 AM and at WoWo.com.
Hey, welcome back. It is the Pat Miller Program. Our thanks again to Kayla Blakesley for being with us this morning and this afternoon. And we're very glad that she was with us. Always glad to have her on. And I think it's always good to make that tie between the morning show every day of the week and the Saturday show from noon to 3. So, Kayla, thank you very much. And have a great rest to your weekend. This is almost insane to bring this up, but Sheila Jackson Lee. Now, Sheila Jackson Lee is a congresswoman from Houston, Texas, that she has always perplexed me as an individual. and she has always perplexed me by way of mental acuity. I'm not saying she's stupid. I'm not saying she's dumb. I am saying quite often she's ignorant. The difference is stupid or dumb means you don't know and you probably don't have the capacity to know. Ignorance is something that you've never been told. There have been times when I've had guests on my program and they are experts of science or some expert of some political or constitutional segment of which I'm not fully aware. And in that instance, I can be pretty ignorant. Well, Sheila Jackson Lee is doing exactly the same. She was at an eclipse viewing event back on Monday. And I hope that you all got to see the eclipse. Some of you went down to Indianapolis or even farther south to have a better view. I think we saw a great deal of it here. But that being said, she was at an eclipse viewing event on Monday there in Texas, and she was talking to a bunch of teenagers out in front of the school at Booker T. Washington High School there in Houston. Ms. Lee, who is now 74, was talking to them, and she made the statement that the moon was made up of gases. Despite that, she wanted to be among the first who had a chance to live there. Let me say this again. She made this dubious comment that the moon is a collection of gases. She said the moon is made mostly of gases, so we can soon live inside it, unlike the sun, which is almost too hot to go near. Almost? The sun is almost too hot to go near? How about when you get within a few 100,000 miles of the sun, you'll burn to a crisp in whatever vehicle that you're in? Ms. Jackson Lee, please. Thank goodness you're stepping away from Congress. Made up mostly of gases? She said, and that's why the question is why or how could we as humans live on the moon? Are the gases such that we could do that? You do remember we've landed there before. We jumped up and down on the moon. The lunar lander landed on the moon. It's not gases. It's solid. Are the gases there such that we could do that? She said, the sun is a mighty powerful heat, but it's almost impossible to go near the sun. No, it is impossible to go near the sun. She goes, and you're going to see in a couple of years that NASA is going back to the moon. She also claimed, now get this, that the moon gives off a unique light and energy. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Where does the light of the moon come from? Well, there has to be a light. I can see it. It's lit. It's reflecting the light of the sun. It's reflecting the light of the sun. And then she gave an even stranger description for the reason that the solar eclipse was happening in the first place. I don't think we've been on the moon the last 50 years, so we will be landing on the moon. What you'll see today will be the closest distance that the moon has ever been in the last 20 years, which means that's why they will shut the light down because they will be close to the Earth, making no mention of the fact it's the alignment of the sun and the moon together that caused the eclipse. I don't know about you. I want to be the first in line to know how to live and to be able to survive on the moon. That's another planet which we're going to see shortly. It's not a planet. A moon is not a planet. That is the moon that goes around the planet Earth. Other moons go around other planets. Some of them have more than one. So she's the same one that when the Mars Pathfinder was there on the Mars surface capturing pictures, she stood in NASA and asked the scientists if they would be able to move their lunar around and find the American flag that Armstrong planted on the moon. Congresswoman, that was the moon. Yeah, and that's where her head is. More coming up right after this news break. We've got Todd Rokita, Attorney General of Indiana.
Podcasts by Federated Media.